Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's I, the High Rod, aka the King of Kings, and you are listening to another edition of The Absolute Truth. Hopefully, I forget Sean Black on the line right now. Sean Black, are you there?
I think I am. Oh, yes, I am here.
Oh, thank you for calling in, Sean Black.
No problem. Of course, it's The Absolute Truth. How could I miss the show?
Of course. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Absolute Truth. Thursday, we had a very hot show. Please forgive us for today because we are very tired. Some of us are hungover. And you know why? Because last night was AKA the biggest fight of the century.
Yeah, I think we need to sue whoever came up with that name.
It was definitely the Super Bowl of boxing. This fight has so many names. I don't know what to call it myself. But unfortunately, I did not see the fight last night because I had to work. Yes, yes. Yes, the Hava do some work sometimes. Well, Sean Black, can you please fill us in about the fight?
Well, first and foremost, the hype, I have to say, I have never experienced a fight as far as the amount of hype involved in my entire life. And when they actually talked about the fight of the century, they were not kidding as far as hype goes. This is the first time that an HBO contracted fighter and a Showtime contracted fighter did a joint pay-per-view main event. It'll probably never happen again. And I think we know the reason why.
What happened last night? Yeah, what happened?
Yes. Well, as far as the fight went, it was somewhat disappointing because everybody expected a much better fight than what we saw. As far as Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, we know that the fight was going to be billed as, like we said, fight of the century. Back and forth, a lot of people thought that Pacquiao, as a matter of fact, they did a poll before the fight started, and I think they said about 65 or 70% of people that were going into the fight actually expected Pacquiao to win the fight. But I think they expected him to win. I actually think that they wanted Pacquiao to win just based on the fact that nobody seems to like Floyd Mayweather, period.
Because Floyd Money Mayweather is an arrogant, show-off son of a gun. But he have every right to be, right?
Exactly. He's making millions and millions of dollars.
I think I have another caller on the air.
Okay.
Caller? Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Hey there.
It's me. Who's me?
It's Anitra.
Hey,
Mark. I know that. Sean Black know that, but not the listeners. Duh.
I do apologize.
Okay. Well, Sean is telling us a little bit about the fight because you and I did not see the fight last night because we was working.
Yes, we were.
Yes. I have heard tales, but... As far as the actual fight went, the first two or three rounds were more or less a feeling out process between both Mayweather and Pacquiao, back and forth between the two. It was much more action from more of a defensive standoff from both sides. There wasn't a whole lot of punching involved. It was probably a coin flip as far as who won the first two rounds. The third and the fourth one probably had the most action in the fight as far as Pacquiao goes, as far as getting in. It seems like Pacquiao's entire game plan was to work Mayweather to the ropes and work the body and try to get in quick flurries. The problem is a lot of those shots that we know Pacquiao has, since we know he's a power fighter, a power boxer, they didn't seem to phase Mayweather too much going into the fight the rest of the way. And it seemed like after a while, what we know Mayweather to be known for, which is being the best defensive fighter probably in the history of the sport, he was able to score and back away, score punches and back away. And the fourth round was probably the round that looked like Pacquiao was going to try and set the pace for the rest of the fight, and it really didn't happen. So he was able to try and get some flurries here and there, and then try to work off of the jab and try to get the hook going and then roll away from that. It didn't work at all. Mayweather basically figured that out and just tagged him at will, and then the last four or five rounds, he basically coasted. So there wasn't a whole lot that Pacquiao was able to do from round six on, although it were a couple rounds later on in the fight where he looked like he was about to get something going, but there was no way Pacquiao was getting away from that hook. The jab set up the hook, and then as soon as he got that punch off, Pacquiao was just, he just didn't know what to do. And he tried to come in, and it looked like at the end of every round, Pacquiao looked like he was starting to put something together, but it was too little too late. And if you look at a fight, in any Mayweather fight, in most of these fights that are championship fights, the judges want to see action. They want to see getting your punches in, being active, working the body, and if you got somebody in the ropes, work the punches, work the body, try to get that going. If you don't get that going throughout the whole fight, the perception to the judges is going to be he's not really landing many punches. And a lot of people go off the sounds of the punches, whether it's being blocked or not. A lot of those punches don't get through. And a lot of the punches that Pacquiao threw did not get through at all. So that was the setup for the rest of the fight. And it turned out the last three or four rounds were a formality because it seemed that Mayweather got so far ahead in the rounds as far as the way he was scoring and winning rounds. He really didn't have to be that active the rest of the way, although Floyd Mayweather's father, Floyd Mayweather Sr., thought otherwise and told him, you need to knock the guy out, you have to do this, you have to do that. It was clear that Pacquiao was overmatched from the sixth round on, and he just couldn't put things together, and that's pretty much how it ended. A unanimous decision for Floyd Mayweather.
And once again, the man just made his millions of dollars.
Yes.
Well, my question is to you. Do you think the fight was fixed, as always?
Of course it was fixed. They're
you think
always
it was fixed?
Fixed, aren't they?
You know, back then when we had the Mike Tyson fight, can I use the bathroom? Were you afraid if you use the bathroom, you're going to miss the whole fight?
Yes. And the funny thing is, I actually had talked about that yesterday while I was watching the fight at a friend's house. And we talked about how those were the days in the late 80s and the early 90s. If you actually went to see a boxing pay-per-view, if you just went to the kitchen to get something to drink, you came back, the fight was over. So.
But there was knockouts back then. Now
yeah.
I was like, okay, let me dance around, make some millions of dollars. Yes,
yeah,
to make huge money from this.
But there were also better boxers. That's the problem with the sport today.
Whoa.
Boxing is so boxing has become today so corrupt and so driven by the promoters. They almost never give the boxing fans, the true fans that love the sport, what they want to see. And what we've seen over the last 15 years is an erosion of the sport into something that just gives away money to the other boxers, to the promoters. The fans don't see the fight that they want until years later. Remember, there was supposed to be the Tyson Holyfield fight, and that got delayed because of the prison sentence of Mike Tyson years ago. So they had to wait about 5 years for that fight. This fight with Pacquiao and Mayweather was supposed to happen about 5 years ago. It would have been a much better fight. But as we've seen, politics and money and who's running the sport and the corruption that goes on, we don't get to see the fight we want to see when we want to see it. So this becomes a formality, and we don't see the fights that we should see.
So why people got upset last time, knowing that this is what happens over and over? People spend a big $100.
Yes.
For a fight. Of course, like this morning, you know, I'm out in the streets, everybody upset. What do you expect?
Oh, yeah.
This is not the first time it happens.
Yes.
Like Anisha said, it's fixed. I believe it's fixed to a certain degree. So, once again, like Milton said last week, Mayweather's a winner regardless because he made his millions of dollars also as fast. So, who's the losers? Us.
Exactly.
The true fans. are the losers. And when there's going to be another fight, it will be the same thing again, a disappointment.
Yes.
And people
don't
know about wrestling.
Exactly. And now Floyd Mayweather Jr. is now 48-0. He has a chance to tie Rocky Marciano for the most wins by any boxer consecutively in a career at 49-0. And he's already stated that I believe he's going to have one more fight in September because that's when his contract runs out with Showtime. And then he says he's going to be hanging it up and retiring. Now, will he have a chance to actually move over and maybe get one more fight and break that record? It's possible, but this is what he's saying. And I think, as we've stated before, he's a smart businessman. He can say that to drum up more interest and see where that goes.
Rematch? Yes or no?
No.
Well, what's the point?
No rematch. I think it was shown after all the hype that was there, if they have a rematch, it's going to be more of the same. And by the time they do a rematch, you figure Pacquiao's going to be older, Mayweather's going to be older, and it's just going to be a little bit different, especially for Pacquiao. I don't think it's just going to work. The power that he has is not the same as it once was, especially if it was 5 years ago. To put those two in the same ring again, I just can't see it happening.
So it's a good thing that Anisha and I went working instead of going to see this fight.
You know what? You're probably right, because what you guys did yesterday might have been a little more entertaining.
We had fun last night.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we did. It was an entertaining evening. Just to say that.
I'm not to go too much detail.
It was entertaining.
With Anisha and I, we got people drunk last night. We do what we do best.
Of course. So everybody got the cranberry juice then.
Yeah, the special cranberry juice.
No, my drink was like the drink of the evening. You know, when I do the whole orange juice and cranberry with vodka?
Oh.
Someone came up to me and said, "Oh, that looks pretty. Can I have one?" And all of a sudden, everybody wanted my drink.
Yes. So, sorry, folks. That's why we don't know too much about a boxing fight, because we were busy getting people drunk.
Oh, of course.
Exactly. We were doing what we do best.
Yeah. Talk about fights. I'd like to recap the Baltimore riots a little bit.
Okay.
Some people, there was like a big announcement made on Friday about the police officers. You know anything about that, Sean Black?
Yes. The six officers that were on call during that entire instance that happened with Freddie Gray and his arrest. Officer Caesar Goodson, Lieutenant Brian Rice, Sergeant Alicia White, Officer Garrett Miller, Officer William Porter, and Officer Edward Nero were all suspended because they were now charged and I believe indicted for the instance that happened with Freddie Gray. The incident we all know, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, Freddie Gray being arrested, and because he quote-unquote had an illegal switchblade and ran from the cops and was arrested, put in a van, and then after being in the van, that quote-unquote long, lonely ride with him in the seat. And as I talked about on Thursday, it was factually known that instead of going to get this man help because he was complaining about being in pain, if you saw in the video, he was screaming out, as we've seen and talked about before, he was thrown in the back of the police van, and the van drove to four different stops before it got to the police station. So in that entire instance, something happened with one of these, or maybe all of the six cops involved, and now they've not only been indicted, their names have been shown to the press, their pictures have been shown to the press, and there were, between all of the riots that went on, there seemed to be some sort of calm, because it looks like the city of Baltimore, in their minds, got some kind of justice.
Because of the riots?
I don't think it's because of the riots. I think the riots brought the attention on a nationwide scale. And what the riots ended up doing were, as we argued Thursday, from beginning to end, I don't believe in the riots per se, but the riots were the result of pent-up anger and frustration of things that have happened economically as well as racially to the people in Baltimore and in other cities like it where these kinds of things happen. So you had now a feel of justice being done and done swiftly because the state attorney general, Marilyn Mosby, who is the one that is prosecuting this case or will get the prosecution getting this, is responsible for it. Here's the thing. She's the daughter of a cop. She wanted to make sure that this, these kinds of things did not happen on her watch and go unchallenged with the right amount of the evidence that's there and get a trial, everything that needs to be done correctly. She didn't want to miss a step. She didn't want anything to go down and get any possibility of justice not being served, of any of these officers alleged being involved in this. We'll see what happens going forward. But at least this was quick, very quick.
And keep in mind, folks, there were color cops and white cops and a woman.
Yes.
Well, it's funny that the media did not mention all white cops.
Exactly. Three black cops, three white cops, one female. And this is what, as we've talked about before, if you brought that up, that's one of the things that would have been plastered all over the TV.
And then Anisha would be defending the white cops, of course.
No, I would not. I'm being stupid.
You always like to say it's not a racial thing, but the media will turn into a racial thing, but they can't.
I mean,
we don't know the media.
What I think it is that you're seeing right now is that the people in the country have now seen enough of these kinds of instances that are bringing to the forefront what happens and what it's like to be a minority in a lot of areas where, as we said before, the initial reason why Freddie Gray was arrested is because he allegedly had an illegal switchblade in his pocket. It was found that not only was it not an illegal switchblade, it was a regular legal knife, and he was not even using it. You know, it wasn't being brandished outside of his pocket or anything of that nature. So that's going to bring more of the profiling angle that we talked about that happens in this country. What are going to be the steps going forward to try to make sure that these kinds of things don't happen? And then what is the city going to do to try to heal itself after all the wide-scale chaos that's been going on for the last week and change?
Oh, they got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
So, Anisha B., what is your intake about the Baltimore Mom? Because a lot of people didn't understand our intake this past Thursday when we talked about it. So I want to bring that up again because I have something to say that might piss some people off today.
No, I completely agree with her. She had every right to go down there and grab her son, slap the shit out of him for being stupid.
Hey, this is a PG-13 show.
Okay. Slap him for being retarded and bring his son home. I completely agree. I'm sorry, violence, well, in this case, but typically, violence, it doesn't solve anything.
Well, you know, the people still criticizing it because they called it, because white people are praising it, but it's okay for a black mother to beat their child in public. But
I don't think
she
was not beating him.
Well, there's always going to be that perception. And here's the issue. I think what happened is that based on the situation, the context was removed from what was supposed to, what was happening there. It went away from a mother saving her son from being part of a riot that is being shown on TV in the news worldwide, nationwide, locally, and instead of pulling the child away from the instance, it's been turned into a discussion on corporal punishment and, you know, who is to say how I should discipline my child based on what happened. And then it also brings in a lot of those same ideals that we heard in the African-American community about the mother being the single mother raising the child and should you put your hand on your child, regardless of the age? So those were the platitudes that were worked on the last couple of days that everybody brought up back and forth. So I don't know.
So they're blowing it out of proportion, in other words.
Yeah, it could
as
have
usual.
Been. And I think that the point, I think, was missed from the sense that I think it's an individual thing, depending on how you raise your child. And I talked about this on Thursday. It depends on how you raise your child. As long as you don't harm or injure your child, the way you discipline your child should be left to the parent alone. But the issue wasn't the discipline of the child. It was the fact that the mother got her child out of that situation. And I think that is the part that's being lost in the entire discussion.
So people love negativity. People like to blow things out of proportion and take that one little small incident and blow it up.
It sells newspapers. It works for blogs. It works for radio stations. It works for newspapers.
Because we are brought down because Milton X had posted a picture that I sent to you guys on social media.
Yes.
About how the situation is being rewarded by white America. But the picture have a father. We all know the story about the father in the wheelchair that whipping his daughter like crazy. But she was twerking online.
Yes.
And also another picture of Anderson Peterson he played for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, yes.
Anderson Peterson, thank you. That got in trouble for spanking his child. And you have this situation with the Baltimore mob. The reason why I'm upset with this picture is because you have three separate situations that's not related to each other. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, one has absolutely nothing to do with the other.
Yeah, so why are people posting this stuff on social media saying that this is the woman got rewarded by white America? The father that whipped his child, it's funny but sad that he's in his wheelchair and he's whipped his daughter like crazy. I don't condone it, but understand it. The reason why I condone it, because I understand you're upset. You know, your daughter is like 13, 14 years old, twerking. That is unacceptable, 100%. She should not be doing that. Whipping her like crazy on the face and post a video online, no. You go whip your child like crazy, don't post it online, because that will get into trouble. But once again, that little small situation, people will blow it out of proportion.
Yeah, and as we had this conversation months ago when you initially showed me the video. And I remember, and I've said this before, I don't have any children personally, but I know of many friends and family members that have children that I've talked about this kind of thing. And my stance on that is, as far as the whole shaming your child on the internet, and I said this before, parents have the right to discipline their child as they see fit, as long as it does not harm the child developmentally, mentally, physically. But at the same time, I personally see no value in shaming a child on social media or the internet. And the reason why I say this is because, let's say, for instance, that whole entire instance that you talked about with the 13-year-old being whipped or probably recorded on a cell phone twerking in the video and then putting it up on Facebook. The problem with that is that once you put something on the internet, and it could be something as innocuous as just a message, a phone conversation, a video, once it hits the internet, it is there forever. You can have court proceedings and lawsuits and statutes to try to get things diminished, it stays there forever. And if this child grows up, let's say something happens to this child psychologically, and it has the child has poor self-esteem because the child's been bullied, and we've heard tons of these kinds of bullying instances through social media over the last couple of years, and those have increased as well. What happens 15, 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, the child is trying to make a name for themselves away from that instance and get a job interview? Oh, you're the girl that got beat for twerking. I know who you are. Why should I hire you? These kinds of things have a way of following somebody, and that's the kind of thing you don't want to set as a precedence for your child or anything for disciplining a child. That doesn't make any sense just to me, and I think it does more harm, and in a lot of instances, it's irreversible, depending.
Yeah, but unfortunately, people don't think about these things, which is sad, but
yes.
True.
Hit
people
send. Think before you hit send. Because once you hit send, it's there forever.
Well, see, Sean, unfortunately, the misconception is, oh, we can always delete it. They don't realize that just because you take it off of, say, your Facebook or Twitter page, it's still out there.
It's still on a server somewhere. That doesn't mean
exactly.
That somebody can't hijack the server and then, you know, throw it out somewhere else.
No, people can still Google and find it. Like, people think that just because they delete it, you know, shortly after, oh, I'm going to teach this person a lesson, and then I'll delete it later. No, it's still there.
Yes.
It doesn't go away just because you take it off your page.
Exactly. There was a video that I saw last year of a kid who was acting wrong for, I forgot what the reason was. I think he wasn't doing good in school. He had just gotten a new pair of sneakers, and, you know, his father told him, oh, so you want to disrespect your mother?
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going with this one. This happened, I believe it was either a year ago or a year and a half ago. The kid.
It was about a year ago.
Okay. And he was, you know, not acting right. So what happened was his father recorded him beating him. And then he had him shave his head with the most messed up, ridiculous haircut, posted it up on Facebook, and then made him go to school the next day with the haircut to try to teach him a lesson. Those kinds of things, in a lot of people's eyes, would border on child abuse. Because the point is to respect your parents, but at the same time, you don't want to humiliate somebody to the point where it's completely counterintuitive to the lesson you're trying to teach. Because if you bring somebody to school and they have, like, you know, the alphabet cut into their head, or have them have "I wrong my parents" written on their skull with, you know, those kinds of things stay with you 20, 30 years from now. How do you overcome that?
You can, because I'm still living my nightmares right now. For my parents, but it's a life lesson. I'll guarantee you that child is not going to do that stupidness again.
Yes, but see, here's the problem with that, as I've said before. How many instances have we heard or seen of something like that happening, and then they get cyberbullied? Somebody goes to their Facebook, oh, you're an idiot because you did such and such. Oh, you and gets clowned, as we've seen on numerous Facebook pages, people, World Star, and all the other stuff. And then because the kids has low self-esteem, or they're already self-conscious of the things that have happened to them, who knows what that child is going to think, or how that child is going to develop as going forward with what they've had to endure.
And it should be.
Yeah, he's right. I happen to agree with him.
Okay,
I think that as far as parents go, when it comes to raising their children, in certain instances when it comes to actually disciplining their child or disciplining their children, and of course, mind you, this is coming from someone that does not have any children, have not raised any children, so this is just my particular take on it, but if anyone else has a different take, no problem. I can have that discussion as well. But my thing is, you want to temper the way you discipline with understanding, but you also want to show that you care about that child over whatever you're disciplining them at, and show them that what they're doing is wrong without making them look like they're going to go to what I would call social jail because of what that person has done.
It should be done in the privacy of your own home.
Exactly. You don't have to shame somebody just to get a point across with something that probably in the grand scheme of things was probably not as bad as that parent may make it seem out to be.
Exactly.
Okay.
I happen to agree with you.
Wow. I don't like that part.
It's true. Certain things should be private. Disciplining a child is private.
Yes.
I don't see the point of putting it online and making it public. I just don't see the point of doing that.
Now, how many times have you been in, like, a supermarket and you saw the mother in the other aisle beating her kid because the kid went crazy and started throwing groceries all over the floor or something like that?
When I see, kids throwing tantrums, I have to look like every other parent have to look. I wish that was my kid. I would beat the crap out of them right now. But from a West Indian parent, you know, you give them the look, wait till I get home. Well, whip your ass at home, because once again, you don't want to whip somebody behind in front of people. That's when you know they call 911.
Yes,
because you're disciplining your child.
Especially when a lot of people sometimes don't understand the concept of what happened prior. There's no context to why the child is being disciplined in a particular way. So most people err on the side of caution if they see something like that. You can't hit the child that way. You can't do that. Now, I'm not saying if you see an adult, you know, picking up a can of vegetables and beating the kid over the head with it, yeah, step in. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, you can't say that as well. I'm just trying to give him vitamins, you know. I mean, at some point, you want to come in and actually help make sure that this is not something that's harming the kid. But at the same time, allowing the parent to discipline the child as they see fit, as long as it does not hurt the child and it doesn't embarrass them or degrade the integrity of the child or the child's dignity, then do what you need to do to discipline the child.
Okay, so to go back to the Baltimore mom, let's say she did not jump in and save her son and something did happen to him. She will be accounted for that, right? She will be the bad mother of the year.
It would be a completely different narrative to that story if that actually was the case. So let you figure,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm figuring if you figure the mother has a son, and you noticed, you saw the way the son was dressed, like a bandana or a mask over his head, all dressed in black, throwing things left and right. And if this mother did not get in there, let's say she decided she's on video telling the child something, and then the child just ignores her and the mother doesn't do anything after that. Then you hear, God forbid, 3 hours later that the child went out to continue doing the riots and a cop killed him. Then what?
It'd be all her fault.
It would be a completely different ideal, because the narrative would be the mother didn't do enough to keep the child out of the streets. The mother didn't do enough to keep the child out of danger. The mother didn't do her job as a parent. And that's part of the, as I said before, this is the narrative that no one is speaking of. The only thing that I've heard a lot of people discuss is that the parent is, you know, she shouldn't be hitting her child and she shouldn't do that. That's not the issue. The issue is she got her child out of harm's way no matter what. If she had to hog-tie his feet and drag him in the house as a parent, if that's what you have to do to keep your parent out of keep your child out of harm's way, to make sure that that child sees another day, that's what you do. And that's what I think is missed in the discussion.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in and view in your opinions, the number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And on to other news. This is old news, but I have to address this because this is nonsense to me. But Nietzsche is a big fan of this person. Bruce Jenner.
The second you brought that up to me, and I remember we all thought about it, like, wow, this has been a much more elaborate topic than a lot of people thought it would be.
Because what he did was brave. A lot of courage to do what he did. I mean, it's not like he came out and said he's gay. If he came out and said he was gay, no one would care. Could you imagine living your entire life feeling that you're in the wrong body? I couldn't even imagine what that must feel like.
Yes. There are a ton of, you figure Bruce Jenner just turned, 65 within the last couple of weeks
mm-hmm.
or months or so. And with all of the things that have gone on in his life, battling dyslexia, also battling, you know, learning to...
Hold on to your thought for a second. We have a caller.
Sure. Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's K-Dog.
Hey,
what's the
problem?
It's Kerwin.
Yes.
Hey.
It's Agent K-Dog.
It's K-Dog, the infamous and famous. Good show, guys.
Yes,
good K-Dog. Show.
What's up?
Thank you.
I couldn't help but listen to the... Sean, I applaud you for raising a good point about that about Baltimore mom raising the child. I agree 100% because she was removing her child out of harm's way. Like you said, what would have happened if the child wasn't, you know, if the mother wasn't there, gun and shot the child? And, you know, I mean, we've heard countless things about how mothers don't know how to raise their children. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's why I applaud with corporal punishment. You know?
Okay.
It's definitely understandable, the stance. I mean, as I spoke about on Thursday, you can be on either side of the argument with corporal punishment as far as do you believe in beating your son or daughter or you not. As
right.
I said before, I think that's a personal and a generational discussion because a majority of the people from today, from let's say 10 years ago to today, have a completely different mindset to when, let's say, our parents were growing up. And it's
right.
also culturally different based on the fact that if your parents are from the West Indies or if they're from down south in the lower half of the United States or if they're out in the West
yeah.
Coast, it's completely different in how a child is raised. So that discussion, I think, is going to need to have to be brought up. But, yeah, you're right. I think it's all a cultural thing.
Exactly. Like what I said Thursday, I meant, you know, it is true because it's cultural because – you know, parents who come from different countries have different ways of discipline. And here in the United States, and I'm not trying to insult, you know, the parenting of the United States, but here parents are taught to be their child's friend rather than the parent.
Yes.
And that's a problem.
And remember back days?
Yes, you should discipline
well, remember back
your
in
child's
the day
part,
when...
I mean, especially to keep them in line.
Yeah.
But remember back then? In other, especially in other countries, when you do something bad, the neighbor saw you, the neighbor beat you, they tell your mother,
yeah.
then your mother beat you again after that, so you have double
exactly.
beating.
Exactly, you got double the punishment.
Yes, that was the old expression of it takes a village to raise a child. And if
yes.
something happened, I mean, that happened with all of us at some point, you know. First
right.
of all,
it does.
We were in a situation where, as far as our age group goes, the neighbors that we lived with, if let's say we all lived in a particular area for a certain amount of time, the
right.
neighbors knew of everyone's children. The
yeah,
neighbors knew of the parents because they all they conversed, they went to other people's houses, they you know, they were legitimately friends. So if everybody
yes,
had
did.
Children, everybody knew who the children's parents were. They knew their contact information. They knew what school they went to. Chances are
yeah.
their children went to the same school. So if something happened with one child, somebody in the neighborhood is going to discipline the child and then tell the child's parents, and then they're going to have to deal with it when they get home. You don't
exactly.
see that anymore.
And also something else, too. Some parents would give their neighbor with the neighbors permission to discipline their child. Like, if I'm not home, I need you to watch over my daughter or my son. That's
exactly.
how it was. And to be honest, that was good parenting. Because, you know, you don't want your kid ending up in trouble. You don't want to see anything bad happen to your kid. It's for safety reasons also.
Exactly.
And it keeps it accountable, you know. That's a smart way to parent, you know.
Well, time changed. That's all that parenting has changed a lot.
I know.
It's a
whole generation, guys. But all we could do is just keep the children in line. That's
yes.
all. Right, guys? Well,
exactly.
Anyway,
that's
all I
got to
say.
Different times. Different times.
Yeah. Well,
and
well, guys,
continue
on with the show.
Okay.
And go on, and please continue.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, K-Dog.
Thank
welcome,
you.
Guys. You're welcome.
Right.
Enjoyed it last night, though. We enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that another day.
Yes.
We'll talk about that
exactly.
another day.
Exactly.
Off air.
Yeah.
Thanks,
right,
K-Dog,
guys.
For the call.
All You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, now back to Bruce Jenner, that fake person.
I personally
think what he did was incredibly brave.
Yes. The fact that anybody, see, irregardless, Hot Rod, of what you may feel about how it went, how Bruce Jenner went about it, how long it took to get about it, there are a lot of people that go through the crisis within themselves of who am I? What am I? Do they identify themselves with a particular gender? Or they're people that don't associate with any gender? And you have to worry about how you feel the world perceives you, how you perceive the world, and how you fit in certain parts of the world, in certain things that you do. And after having children and after being married and having successful business and doing a lot of things on that personal level, a lot of people don't feel fulfilled enough because, as we've talked about, those that are out there that are still searching for their own identity, they just don't feel comfortable, that they don't know who or what they are. So for somebody, regardless of what age it is, if that's what Bruce Jenner wants to do, and he is not harming himself, not harming his children, and is happy with himself for doing what he is doing, I'm 100% behind it. I have no issues with that.
Okay, exactly. I agree with that concept. But look at this. God gave you, me, and Anisha all penises, right?
Really?
And,
really?
Oh,
dude.
Boy. And
you know
we begin.
And drop. We are guys, right?
No.
We are three men. What?
The only
what
penis I have is the one in my drawer that is battery operated. Okay.
Boom, boom.
Whoa.
Oh, I guess that's the absolute truth, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Right. Whatever he wants to do to himself, yes, he's happy. But to say that I want to become a woman, I'm heterosexual. Does that make you a lesbian if you like women?
Well, see,
that's
here's the thing.
That's the interesting part.
He's saying
he
likes women.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I guess he's a lesbian now.
Yeah, but you want to know, from what I've read, basically the one thing that somebody that is transitioning is that you don't want to assign labels as to what they are sexually going to become, what they identify with. It's something that they learn as time goes on, what they identify with. There are people that transition into being women that identify themselves as being gay, lesbian, some that consider themselves the same way they were as far as being attracted to women, but just don't feel the body that they're in is the one that they should be in. So there are many different layers to the situation, and everybody that goes through a transition is going through it for different reasons. Maybe they don't feel confident enough with who they are physically as far as being a female, the different issues that women go through physically through a lifetime. Maybe they identify themselves with being one of the guys. So they feel in that sense that they feel to themselves that they are more into being male or identify more with male traits. So it depends on that person, and it depends on what life they've gone through that has shaped their ideals behind it. But they seem to identify with, as they're transitioning, they knew something was up when they were young. So there was some sort of traits or some sort of cues that they picked up as they were younger that let them know that something is a little bit different. This is not who I am.
Well, back then, when little boys dressed in women clothes and their mother clothes or wear the shoes, it was normal. It was like, okay, cool. He liked to wear mommy's hat or mommy's dress. It's all cute. Even Anisha, she tried dressing up once in a while as a woman. But besides that...
Really? This is what we're going to do today? You're going to get it later. Watch.
Yeah.
It's been over 2 months since you've been here, so I have to take it all out.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for coming back.
Shut up.
But Hot Rod, you do make a good point with the whole with the gender roles that go on. From when children are first initially able to communicate, the first thing that we learn as children is pink is for girls, blue is for boys. Boys play with action figures and cars and trucks. Girls play with dollies and horses and unicorns and jewelry. And makeup as
wow,
they get older.
That's all the tools you had, right, Sean?
Hey, I had a healthy childhood, so I can't complain. But in all reality, though, those are the gender roles that are assigned. From when you used to look at TV way back in the – like if you see an old movie, even from the black and white days, when they would show the little kids in the room, go play with your toys, and if you have a little girl, go play with your dolls, play with the dollhouse – and those kind of became stereotypes because children weren't allowed to kind of cross over and try and see other things and still keep what makes them a boy or a girl. It's always been that fear that, well, if little Johnny plays with the doll, maybe he's going to become effeminate and show a lot of feminine traits. And that's not always the case. So
no, that's not the case. I played with Barbie dolls, but I broke them because that was little kids did back then.
Yeah,
you know,
the majority of male kids that played with girls' toys were in it to destroy them, or to look at body parts. One of the two.
You know, yes, I had my moments back then. Yes, you know, but
yes.
The only reason why I have nothing against Bruce Jenner, I have nothing against him becoming a woman or whatever he wants to become. It, he, she, whatever. Is the attention. The only reason why people care, the only reason why he's a hero is because his connection with the Kardashians. If he was just a regular athlete, a regular average Joe, if Sean, when you finally decide to come out of the closet and tell us that you're a woman, guess what? Nobody cares. Because his connection to his marriage, too. Hold on, he should be. Don't you dare start. His connection to Kim Kardashian and the rest of the sisters of that crazy-ass family. That's the only reason why 17 million people watched that interview with Diane Sawyer. I'm sorry, people. People care because
who cares?
No, no,
what
that's
he did
why
was
people...
incredibly brave. Who gives a shit people are tuning in?
No, no, no. People tune in because the family. That's why. I guarantee you, Anisha, if you went on the air and told Diane Sawyer, "I'd like to become a guy," who are you?
Well, I think, first of all,
I
don't think Diane Sawyer would be coming to the Hot Rod. I think the Hot Rod would be coming to Diane Sawyer.
Exactly.
Yes, because he's an athlete. He did a lot. But he was a low-down person, quiet, until he met...
He had notoriety. He has a name. I mean, even in all reality, even if he wasn't connected to the Kardashians, people knew who Bruce Jenner was because... he was an athlete. He also was an actor prior to that.
Because
so it's not
Jenner,
as if
Kyle
no
Jenner,
one knew who he was. So I think the name
Jenner,
involved.
The name involved
would actually help out bringing attention. And in some instances, it's definitely good because there are a lot of people within the community that are going through the thought process of maybe transitioning or not knowing what their feelings are, how they should actually cope with how they feel and getting a result as to maybe should I transition or should I stay the way I am. And those kinds of things that are involved in it because of who is doing it will actually help people out that may be, quote unquote, stuck in a position where they don't know what they want to do next. So there's some, as Anitra talked about, there's bravery involved. Because think about it, he has a reputation, even though he's 65 years old, he still has his name reputation if this was, you know, if he had cared about it. You know how there are a lot of celebrities that all they care about is their name and their celebrity and their brand. And imagine having all that cachet of celebrity, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to transition, I'm going to become a woman. Nobody wants that negative stigma. Especially if people think it's some sort of a publicity stunt or something along those lines. So there has to be bravery involved. And
of course there is.
At this age, at his age, to do it now is probably one of the more brave things I've seen anybody actually do.
Well, no. Yeah, because there's no way to know that this could have went well. I mean, the amount of support that he's getting is amazing. It's all positive, which is great.
Hold on, guys. We have another call on the air. Hold on. Hello?
Oh, okay.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Who's
this? This is Lewis.
Oh, Milton X, you're on the air. Oh,
hey, how you doing? Call.
Hey, Mel.
This is not Milton. This is Lewis.
Ray Lewis?
Let's just go with Lewis. All right.
Oh, what's up?
So basically, I'm just calling to see what's the subject about, because I just got the number on the line.
Oh, right now we're talking about Bruce Jenner.
Oh, Lord of mercy. to break it down, I'll make it real quick. It was a little bit of an unselfish part on his side as a father, but it was like a get well for his side, meaning like he wanted to be free. But as a father of six kids, he had to be a little bit more thoughtful as to what they're going to go through. He's not like a single guy that's coming out of the closet and changing and reforming himself, but he's a grandfather and also a dad.
Yeah, but from what I understand, before even doing the interview and before even coming out, he consulted with his family. Like, they had
a
discussion,
and
his children were fine with it.
It was more negative than positive, but of course,
and
they had to put up a face. I'm sorry?
No, I agree with Max.
No, but he consulted, but from what they say, they said that he did consult with his children.
You're a public figure and also an icon in the business of sports. He was one of the biggest icons in the 70s when it came to track and field. And his life was already changing when he did this reality show for the sake of his kids, his stepkids. But when it came down for himself, it's like, oh, my God, you just transitioned yourself from being respectable to being the clown.
Now, here is my question. We've known basically how he spoke that he's felt this way for years. He's wanted to transition for a long time. Here's my question to you. At what point would have been a good time for him to do it? Because
After the first marriage.
Exactly, Roger, because you know what the problem
after the
is?
First marriage. You're
misleading a lot of people. You're misleading the kids and you're misleading the women.
Yeah, but you don't know
so
that you're making assumptions. We don't live there. We're not in their personal lives.
But the response from the wives, the ex-wives, they're saying all this, like, I do recall him saying, and one, the second wife basically said clearly, I left him because of this, because he was trying to take the pills, and I said, we have two sons to think about. Oh, they'll just call me auntie. I said, what the F? It doesn't work with a snap of the finger. It doesn't work that way. And the other thing I'm going to drop a bomb on you guys, here's the thing, because I've told a few of you guys have known about my past as far as I used to work at a health clinic for homosexuals and transgender.
Okay.
That was one of my first original jobs.
Okay.
And if some of you don't remember that, I do recall telling you that. And this is during the popularity of the 90s when there was like a hush-hush back in the days. And one of the big debates that I had was the men of color, because there was a group seminar for men of color that were basically coming out of the closet slowly, or making that transition to become female. The topic was, when the transition happens, are they going to go for heterosexual lifestyle or have homosexual lifestyle? Now, the big debate that was called about was the homosexuals versus heterosexuals. They brought in straight guys, including myself, to the table to say your thoughts and your theories about the lifestyle. I just flat out said, listen, it's a situation where it's like back in the late 60s and early 70s, historically, it was ruled as a mental problem. It was changed back in 73, and they made it no longer a mental problem for homosexuality. And I'm like, okay, based on whose theory, why was it changed to no longer a mental problem? They didn't give us too much basis. They just said, oh, it's just been changed. Okay, my thing is, why would a straight woman be attracted to a man who's now posing as a woman? How would a guy be attracted to another guy who's no longer a guy, who's turning to a woman? It's just a lot of
There are a lot of layers involved in that from what I have seen of I can't remember. I saw a talk show bring this up some years ago where they actually had it was a married couple, and there was the male was transitioning into a woman,
mm-hmm.
and the wife didn't think she would. It's not like the husband wasn't changing because he felt like he was gay. He just felt that he was a woman, and he transitioned, and they stayed married, and they still got intimate with each other. And as is stated, it's an individual choice for anybody in that situation to stay with somebody that's transitioning because, like you were speaking about,
the
emotional part of it.
They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that part. They don't want to hear choice. They don't want to hear that. It's not a choice. It's they were born this way, like they want to say. But I said, this is where the confusion kicks in.
No, not the choice on the person transitioning. I'm talking about the choice of the person that is in the relationship with the person transitioning.
No.
The choice for the choice is this way.
If you love that person, you were born, you're basically saying you're in that lifestyle. Let's say, like, if my woman becomes a man and she has the man parts, you think I'm going to be into that person? I wasn't born that way.
But that's you.
And as I said before, it's an and Max, as I said before, it is an individual decision.
Exactly.
For anybody, I'm not saying that the decision from the person that is transitioning. They've already felt that way for years and years and years and already have had the arguments and the stigma of going through the transition. Now, if they're in a relationship and, first of all, there are a lot of people that aren't upfront with who they are and how they feel. That part, that is the part that would probably kill a relationship. But we're also in a society where always telling the truth of how you really feel isn't always condoned. Because think of how many people were killed because they announced that they were gay or that they were lesbian or that they felt that they wanted to transition. Think of all of those crimes that have happened over the years of people saying, well, I'm transitioning, I am not a male, I'm a female, and I should, you know, and all kinds of atrocities happen. Now, imagine being in the relationship with that person and having to listen to that, knowing the person that you were with didn't tell you ahead of time, either for fear of retribution or maybe they just did not know comfortable, they weren't comfortable enough to telling their partner that being the case. And there are some instances where the partner listens to the discussion and says, look, my love for you supersedes anything that has made me uncomfortable in the situation. Because I love you so much, I will still be with you because of it. And it's not just cut and dry choice as far as it's your choice to be lesbian or gay or transgender or go through a transition like that. That's how a lot of people are born.
That's challenging the art of marriage as far as to say, what you said, Sean, is what they had asked me if I would still stay in a relationship with my wife. He's now become Mr. Lewis.
Okay.
And I'm like, include appearances looking like Reginald Vale Johnson from the Family Matters.
Okay.
You know, the guy, the dad. So if you look like that now, when I married you, when you look like Jack A. Harry, it's a huge loss. But the test is,
and that's something you have to adjust to.
Fulfill your vow.
And so
I'm
Sean
like,
Black.
It's a self.
Yes, I'm here.
No, Sean Black, let's say you get married and a woman did that to you. How you will react to that?
You know what? I don't know how I would react because you have to think if the relationship was good enough, you would have to really, really love the person. And if that's how you feel, it's okay to say, look, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not going to be with you because this is not, quote unquote, what I signed up for as per se. But I think you would respect the person more from that standpoint if they were led along and told, if they felt it at an earlier time. I don't know how I would react per se. I would hope that I would be a little more dignified than a lot of people are when it comes to those kinds of things and those kinds of decisions if they're presented with it. But I would think I'm a much more level-headed person to be able to say, you know, with some kind of thought process, you know, maybe this isn't for me, or maybe without denigrating that person and getting rid of their dignity in the decision that was involved.
Okay. What about you, Alicia B? How you will react to it?
I don't know. I'm not. Watching.
Okay. Well. You're half a man, so you should understand the situation already.
Funny little man.
Well, you're not known to be funny,
really,
but I'm going to take that.
Know.
But,
I don't think...
One thing... Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just don't think anybody can really, truly answer that
unless they're involved in the situation. That's a very hard thing to try to portend, to say, I can think maybe, perhaps... I really don't know how I would react unless I was presented with it in the situation.
But you understand what Kris Jenner? You understand what Kris Jenner's going through, because he basically shoved it in her face with this, and she changed every court document, including guardianship with her fortune. She dismissed everything in his name. She wants him out, period, of her life, because she's distraught for the fact what he did. She was truly in love with this guy. And then Diane Sawyer even asked him, this is the one I was going to throw at you, do you still pursue women? He said, yes. He's still feeling heterosexual.
But you want to know something? I don't think that him transitioning was the impetus for what's going on. I think there were issues underlying between those two that had nothing to do with him transitioning, and it probably had everything to do with that show.
They was talking about, yeah, the transition was there. They was talking about it. She fought along with it because, you know, they have that show there to think about.
That's the main problem. It's the show. I think that Bruce Jenner transitioning might have been kind of like the sidebar to all of this. But I think the majority of the issues that's gone on with that family, as far as the marriage and the children and everything else, has everything to do with that reality show where we have Kim Kardashian, who most people will already argue the only reason why she's gotten popular is because she made a porno tape. The family is married. Kris Jenner was married to a lawyer. She's had kids. This is how the kids got involved as far as getting out there and getting popular. And then all of the things that happened, kind of like a sidebar, so to speak. We've seen a lot of celebrities on TV with reality shows, and their marriage and family falls apart. Look at Hulk Hogan when he had the Hogan Knows Best family reality show. And look what happened to his marriage then. That fell apart during the duration of the show.
20 years have been married.
Exactly.
They've been married for 19, 20 years. Out of nowhere, they don't break up like that. I'm sorry, Anitra B. Reality shows destroy lives. That's why I'm not buying this Bruce Jenner story completely.
Oh, really? I didn't hear all of it. What is your opinion on Bruce Jenner?
Bruce Jenner, I'm happy he's doing what he's doing, but the only reason why people can't because his relationship with the Kardashians.
What about his kids? I mean, never mind the Kardashian. What about his kids, his grandkids, and his kids?
That's
what they're saying. His kids are backing him.
Yeah, and at some point, and here's another thing that a lot of people don't realize, Max. At some point, you have to be able to live for yourself.
Exactly.
You have to be able to say, okay, I have children. His children are almost all grown. He has, I believe, grown children from his previous marriage. So it's
They're well older, yeah.
Exactly.
Older,
so it's not like he's dealing with 4 and 5 year olds. They're old enough to be able to have their own opinion. True. They all also, a lot of them have their own names. They're doing their own thing. But at the same time, he has to be able to do, at this point in time, what makes him happy. He's 65 years old. He's not 30. He's not 25. He's not bringing in a couple of kids now and saying, well, this is – they know the situation prior. We don't want to act naive as if he just threw this at them at the last minute. His family's known about this for years. And at this age, if this is what makes him happy and makes him feel whole as a person, then I don't think there's any issue with him doing so. Did it cost him his marriage? Maybe it did. Maybe there were other extenuating factors that we're not privy to that brings up the case.
John, it's all over the newspapers how each wife had experienced there was a problem with Bruce regarding to that subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know the media and the newspapers don't report the whole story. They just report
you're right. But they'll always complain, retract this, retract that. But Bruce had this thing, and he did not want to clear and resolve this matter. He didn't resolve it, and that's why I felt it was a selfish act on his role, because you produce more kids while you're still fighting this cause.
Okay, I mean, that's an understandable opinion.
Get it out the way now. But at that time, he was probably afraid because it wasn't as popular, and it wasn't as open. There was not a lot of transgenders in his community where he would fit in.
And he probably also felt like if he did that, he would betray a lot of family members. He probably felt like he would be alone. I mean, like I said before, there are a lot of emotional, psychological things that happen with people that are going through those kinds of instances that they don't get that chance. And if they do get that chance, who's going to be there for them? Because there's always that possibility that they're going to alienate themselves from the ones that love them and the ones that they love. And as I've said before, nobody goes out of their way to alienate themselves just on a whim because they feel like it. And that's the one thing that a lot of people seem to be missing in this discussion. He has to do what makes him happy. And he's waited now up until the age of 65. Maybe he wanted to do it earlier, as you talked about. He probably brought it up with his other ex-wives and other past relationships. But he didn't do anything. Now at age 65 years old, if he wants to do that, more power to him.
Exactly. You know, I feel the same way.
Max, you were saying?
No, I mean, like I said, I agree with you saying, Sean. I'm just saying that you had that feeling from the earlier times when your second marriage, immediately seek help so you can try to come out. But don't pursue to pretend you're in the heterosexual lifestyle, which you're saying you are, and want to play that role that I'm not thinking that way, and produce more kids in the process. Bringing more kids into this.
He's not saying
otherwise. I don't know about that, Ron. I don't know about that because his mother knew about it. His mom started and helped. She actioned for it. His mom, his own mother is on his side. So people had known about it, and he was just afraid how to approach it.
But maybe he just wasn't ready.
He's a motivational speaker.
Right. He said, you know, like, you know, when can you be ready?
Exactly. And that's the thing that you can't really – it's hard to quantify when you're ready because I would assume he's wrestled with this thing for 20, 30 years. So who's to say when you would be ready? You know what it's like? I'm not going to – this is probably going to be a bad analogy. But it's kind of like you know you're going to lose your leg because it's got something wrong with it. At some point, you're going to have to get rid of your leg. When are you actually ready to lose your leg? It's kind
now.
Of the same. You're preparing for something that you're going to. I think that when you go into a situation where you know there's going to be some sort of change involved and there's going to be consequences to a decision that you're about to make, at what point are you ever really ready? And you have to be comfortable with that decision because this is a life-changing decision. So from that sense, although I understand your point, Max, as far as with children involved
and
everything
and
else,
partners.
And life partners and being married and those kinds of things, we don't fully know everything from all of the sides as far as, you know, how much did he talk about it. We know that it was brought up. We know it was mentioned. But how far did it go? And that's what we really don't know, and we probably never will know. So on that part of it, I think it's harder for us to try to understand because we're outside of the situation, and we're not privy to how Bruce Jenner is thinking, what makes him feel the way he feels. Although he may have brought it up in the interviews, you can empathize only to a certain degree because a lot of people can't connect those feelings to what he's going through.
Hold on 1 minute. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Hello, caller.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
All right, cool, cool, cool. How y'all holding up over there? Like the show was going
on. Milton X?
So.
Oh, Milton X is on the air, guys.
Uh-oh.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
Milton X.
Yes. The infamous.
Yes.
Milton X.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Anitra B if, as a woman, a pure woman, if you were pulling the corner and a woman came up to you who you had thought you knew for the last 2.5 years, told you, I'm really a man and I find you attractive.
Oh.
I don't know.
See? But would you feel betrayed?
I don't know.
That you thought you knew that person and you were intimate as far as just having fun, sharing a lot of details, and then all of a sudden this was thrown at you.
I don't think it's that cut and dry. I don't think it's that easy. Because I'd also have to think about with that person. And I mean, there's reasons why people don't say things. You know, like that. That's not something you say over a cup of coffee.
No, I know, but it's just saying, like, you guys have been through a lot as far as going out, sleeping over, like, oh, let's go drive, you know, road trips. And all of a sudden, after the 2 years is up, and then the person just had this conversation with you intimately in your apartment or her apartment, and then it comes out that I was originally a guy, but I find you attractive.
I'd want to know why. I would obviously ask.
That's like an episode of Dynasty or something right there.
It can happen because let's just say they use their friendship to lure you in and then make you feel comfortable, and then, bam, voila, I really have a thing for you. I just wanted you to feel comfortable with me.
I would just ask why I wasn't told this sooner, and if it's a legitimate reason, not being an asshole, if it's an actual legitimate reason, then I wouldn't be upset. But if
why would you be the a-hole? Why would you be the a-hole?
I'm just saying my response would be, why haven't you told me? And if that person's answer was, legitimate, where they were truly, just weren't ready, they were scared or whatnot, then no, I wouldn't be mad. But if they didn't say anything just because they wanted to be an asshole, then of course that would upset me. I just don't think it's as easy as, oh, I'm keeping this from you. I think there's a lot more to it.
Okay.
Before Hot Rod and Sean Black, what if I told you guys I was originally a female? And how would you guys take it?
We kind of know that already, so.
yeah, we kind of knew that part already.
And the sentence that comes out of your mouth holds
friend.
No weight. It's already done. It holds no weight, bro. It has no value.
We still would be there for you.
We know that you're due any minute now to head to the mental institute.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It's just any minute now. The clock is ticking.
Okay, well, Milton S., what's your intake on this? We have like 10 minutes left.
Okay, as far as what, the whole Bruce Jenner situation?
Bruce Jenner, yes, because you're another person who might come out the closet soon.
Uh-oh. Yeah, well, listen, Bruce, he's got a whole lot of issues, so I feel bad for him, but he don't know what's going on in his head. Now, the fact that you actually get surgeries like that and hormones have changed your whole sex is kind of crazy to me. It's like, like you're playing God in some type of way. You know what I mean? I'm not really a fan of that. Sometimes technology goes a bit too far.
Okay.
But, I do have sympathy for him because, listen, he needs psychological help. Definitely. So I'm not going to degrade him at all in any way, shape, or form, but he needs help. But the whole surgeries and hormones, all that type of stuff is odd, and they're definitely disturbing. And, also, too, from an insurance standpoint, I don't think that type of stuff should be insured at all. That's what you want to do. You got to pay for
that. Why do you say that?
It's not insured, darling.
Yeah, I think that in the eyes of the law, it's looked at as cosmetic and not something that's needed.
Yeah, it's a cosmetic.
So that's why
right.
It's not an insured surgery. I could check that out for next
no,
week.
No, it's not an insured
but
surgery.
It's not insured,
I already looked that up.
Okay.
Why
you
trying to get
not.
Why? That's what I'm saying. Why?
Why? Because they consider it cosmetic.
Yeah.
No.
Anything cosmetic is not covered under health insurance.
You don't need it. I'm off duty, boo. I'm off duty. I'm off duty.
It looks like we got more absolute truth than we needed.
Oh, yeah. It's absolute, all right. She's a long story. I'll tell you about her some other time, guys.
Okay.
She's just mad I didn't drop the bomb on her.
Oh, boy.
This is after show.
She mad.
TV
don't worry
14
about
after show right here. You know what I'm saying?
Damn right.
Well, Milton, thank you for calling in. And we're going to do this
guys.
We will do this again.
Anisha, welcome back. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry.
What's up, Mama?
Back.
What's going on with you?
That's good to hear.
Okay, I got to talk about this.
Guys, Anisha, I'll hear from her some other time. I don't want to interrupt your show, guys.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you, guys.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Thank you. All right.
Well, we had a loaded show today.
Yeah.
I know.
And you know what? We did a show in the last 2 minutes before we went live on the air. That's how good we are.
You're not
I'm
supposed to reveal
you.
Secrets like that.
Getting the hang of this.
Yes.
We have other topics to talk about, but we don't have enough.
Rodney,
you have not been
vocal today. What's your quick?
What's my quick about what?
About what's going on, about what we've all been talking about. You haven't been very vocal. Kind of shocked.
I'll let you guys talk today because, you know, there's a lot going on. And I'm trying to be a better engineer. Yeah, you know, I'm learning. And plus, I'm still hungover. But besides that, the Bruce Jenner thing is over. I'm over it. It is what it is. Unlike Sean said, along he's happy, so be it. I would still question his sexuality. You're trying to be a woman, but you like women. To me, that makes you a lesbian. But in the end, he's asexual. He's in love with himself. And
there you go.
And to go off to that sex change, I don't give a damn. It's not my money. It doesn't bother me. It's just like, why now? Like Matt said earlier, if you're involved with a relationship and you tell the person about the situation, okay, I understand that person don't want to be part of your life anymore. But why continue? Marry another person and another person. All you're doing, that is the selfish part. Whether you're confused or not of what you want to be or when is the time to say it, you don't hurt other people.
Well, here's the other thing that isn't mentioned a lot.
Hold on, wait for it.
Uh-oh. The other thing that a lot of people have probably not gotten into is the actual emotional part as far as going through the transition or going through what they're going through. And a lot of people actually try and say, well, they try to recondition themselves. So they say, well, I'm not really having these feelings. That's not me. That's not how I am. So I'm trying to do what I can to be as quote-unquote normal as possible. So they try and date somebody else and try to have a normal marriage and go to have children and everything else, realizing that in the long run they're just living a lie.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You're lying to yourself that. So you're being selfish to yourself and to other people. But, you know, you're doing more harm than done if you keep marrying and going out with other people and having 20 kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, Bruce Jenner, once again, be happy with yourself, but he did a lot of harm throughout all these years. Not to himself, to a lot of people. So when Anisha finally will come out and tell us that she's going to become a man finally, we'll be there to support her. And we'll still be there to love her. But at the same time, we will still ask questions like, why now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying as an example there. I'm not saying that you are a man.
Wow. You notice he had to clean that one up.
Exactly.
Hey,
like, how did one take that?
I don't know.
All right. Final thought. Sean Black.
Oh, boy. I would say the last couple of weeks, we have probably seen the side of humanity that is absolutely evil and horrendous. Yeah. And then on the other end, we've seen the good in humanity. And here's what I'm going to talk about. The reason why I bring this up, we had the evil that happened in the Freddie Gray instance with them being killed and the cops and the rioting and everything else. But there was also a picture that I saw, and you probably saw this on the news as well, of a teenage boy who during the riots was handing bottles of water to the cops who were standing protecting the city. The reason why I say that is no matter what goes on with all of the things that have happened in society, no matter what evils that are out there, there is always something to make you pause and think that, you know what, humanity is completely foregone. There is hope for people if they actually can focus and actually respect other people. That's all you have to do. Respect your fellow man, respect the other people that are there, and that will actually make you think, well, you know what, there is some hope for humanity before we become extinct.
Thank you. Anitra B., you got 2 minutes.
I have 2 minutes?
Well, you know, we're about to get off the air soon.
No, I just wish people would start focusing on the good. There's so much that goes on a day-to-day basis that people don't even discuss because, unfortunately, it doesn't sell, which is sad, but it's true.
Okay, that's
I'm
it.
I'm tired of
short and sweet to the point.
Exactly. I'm tired of hearing about this one getting shot and this one getting stabbed. And like, did you hear about there was this 21-year-old female that got arrested for being drunk in a San Francisco train station? It was in the news last week.
Okay.
And the cops, instead of obviously she was disorderly, she was drunk, they arrested her. Two cops literally slammed her to the floor and broke parts of the bones of her face.
Wow.
There was blood all over the floor. Now, instead of, handling that right, they chose to go the other way, which it doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, wow, all right. That's a sad situation.
It's rather depressing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I understand
like,
where your point is coming from,
I would. All
right.
I don't know.
My final thought is I need a drink of special juice because these type of shows get me riled up and I'm happy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very grateful for this show. I'm grateful for the guys that are calling in. The show is growing and growing. We have over 400 listeners so far. So I see some light in the show.
Thank you for the support, everybody that's called and listened.
Exactly.
And
Thank you so much.
And you know what? And once again, we have a bunch of notes in front of us. We don't go through everything, but there's so much to talk about, and I appreciate it.
And we've left like four topics off that we were going to talk about today, and we're going to have to save them for next week.
Exactly.
That's right. Maybe we have to do another show on Thursday to keep up. We still have the FDA story. We still have sex toys to talk about. We still have God knows what else is going to happen this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we'll address them next time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host with the most, the King of Kings, a.k.a. the Hot Rod, sitting here with
Sean Black
and Anitra B.
Come back. We do miss you. Ladies and gentlemen, once
again, thank you
for tuning in on The Absolute Truth. Maybe we might do a show Thursday. I don't know. Sean, you think we might be able to pull one off?
I think we need a timeout. We can probably pull one off. I'm sure we could probably do that.
Yeah, why not?
But you know what? There's a lot of sports going on, and the Rangers are playing, and I hope they're not playing on a Thursday.
Okay, we talk about it.
We'll let the people know. How about that?
Yes, all right, guys. Thank you so much. Till next time. We're out. We're off.
Bye, guys.